we don't always know why. We don't know why. And I don't even think there's anything wrong with saying, I don't like this plan. I don't really want to do this.
Pastor Greg Laurie says trials and tragedy will come, like it or not, but we need to respond appropriately.
You go to God with your whys. You go to God with your doubts. You go to God with your struggles. But ultimately, we need to say to the Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.
Across the land, there's a change coming. It's a new beginning, a new beginning. People get ready, there's a new creation, a new beginning. Old things have passed away. This is a brand new day. It's a new beginning.
When tragedy strikes, and it seems as though we're as low as we can possibly go, we often ask God why. We'd like to have just one good reason why God would allow such a terrible thing to happen to one of His children. Just one. Well, Pastor Greg Laurie has felt those same emotions in the last couple of years. And today on A New Beginning, he reveals six reasons why God may allow pain and suffering in the lives of His kids. It's serious truth for the times of serious soul searching in our lives.
Job chapter 2, and the title of my message is, Why Does God Allow Suffering? Part 2. Here is Job facing the most radical adversity imaginable, including the loss of his wealth, his livelihood, many of his employees, but worst of all, his 7 sons and 3 daughters all died at the same time. Now, this was allowed by God. And of course, it's because of a conversation that was happening in heaven where God was bragging on Job and the devil challenged the Lord's assertions and said, you let me have some time with him and I'll show you that he'll curse you instead of praise you. But instead of doing what the devil predicted, Job was only stronger in his faith. So now we come to scene 2. And the devil's stepping it up. And we're reading from Job 2. I'm reading verses 1 to 10 from the New Living Translation. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan the accuser came with them. So where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan. Satan answered, oh, I've been going back and forth across the earth, watching everything that's going on. You can almost hear the Lord clear his throat at this point. Have you considered my servant Job? He's the finest man in all the earth, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and will have nothing to do with evil, and he has maintained his integrity, even though you persuaded me to harm him without cause. Satan responded, skin for skin. He blesses you only because you bless him. A man will give up everything to save his life, but take away his health, and he will surely curse you to your face. All right, the Lord says, do as you please, but spare his life. So Satan left the Lord's presence, and he struck Job with a terrible case of boils from head to foot. Then Job scraped his skin with a piece of broken pottery and sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Just curse God and die. But Job replied, you talk like a godless woman. Should we only accept good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? Wow, what a story. And poor old Job is grappling with this, and he goes before the Lord, as any person should when they're suffering, and he asks the question, why? And you know what? There's nothing wrong with asking why. I've asked why many times. And I would just add to that, there's nothing wrong with asking why, as long as you don't get the idea that God somehow owes you an answer. Even Jesus, hanging on the cross of Calvary, said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But we don't always know why. We don't know why. And I don't even think there's anything wrong with saying, I don't like this plan. Even Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Father, this is hard. Father, I don't really want to do this. Father, if there's another way, I would rather we find that way. But then he adds these words, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And that's what it comes down to. You go to God with your whys. You go to God with your doubts. You go to God with your struggles. But ultimately, we need to say to the Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Job went on to ask a lot of questions, and then he started giving his opinions of various things and trying to explain these things away. And it just went on for chapters. Finally, the Lord can't take it anymore. And really sarcastically, he says to Job in chapter 38, hey, you know, what are you talking about? Pull yourself together, Job. Stand on your feet. I have some questions for you, and I want you to give me some answers. Where were you when I created the earth? Tell me, since you know so much. Effectively, God's saying, well, my goodness, Job, you're such an expert now. Will you tell me what's going on? I don't remember seeing you around when I was creating the planets. God never told Job why. God just revealed more of himself to Job. I think what we really need in life more than an explanation is we need an encounter with God, a revelation of God. Because when we see God for who he is, we see our problems for what they are. Small God, big problems. Big God, small problems. But why does God allow suffering? Let me give you six reasons in closing. Number one, God is in control of all circumstances that surround the believer. The devil can do nothing in the life of the believer without the express permission of God. But why would God give to Satan that permission? Listen to this. Because Satan's attacks will show what you are made of. See, when the devil attacks you, it will reveal if you are really a believer or not a believer. Some people will say, well, this thing that happened, this tragedy, shattered my faith. I don't believe in God anymore. You know, interesting. I hear this said, but I have to wonder, did you really have faith to begin with? A faith that cannot be shaken is a faith that has been shaken. And if your faith is real, it will even get through something like this, because as I pointed out before, character is not made in crisis, it's revealed. I don't know that Job's wife was a believer. I see Job worshiping God, and I see Job's wife saying, why don't you just curse God and die? You see, trials, temptations, crisis separates the wheat from the chaff, the true from the false, the real from the unreal. Number two, suffering helps us grow spiritually and makes us stronger in our faith. James 1 says, when all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't treat them as intruders, but as friends. Realize they have come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. Let that process go on until your endurance is fully developed, and you'll find that you become men of mature character, men of integrity, with no weak spots. You see, suffering takes our faith from the realm of theory to reality. Number three, suffering can bring glory to God. Suffering can bring glory to God. How so? Listen, any fool can be happy when the sky is blue and the sun is shining. Well, when a storm is hitting, it's a different matter. And this is what Satan was saying to God. Job only worships you because you blessed him. Let calamity come his way. He'll curse you. Well, no, actually, Job really did love the Lord because he worshiped the Lord before, during, and after the crisis. To strengthen Job's faith and prove Satan wrong, God allowed these things to be taken from Job, and Job passed the test with flying colors. What a rebuke to the enemy. What a powerful witness his story is, that still stands as an example for us. Number four, God will allow suffering and sickness to get our attention. Sometimes we're not paying attention, and so the Lord will do something to wake us up. In Psalm 23, David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He later says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Have you ever wondered what that means? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. First of all, we're all being compared to sheep, which is not really a compliment. Sheep are pretty low on the intelligence scale in the animal kingdom. They have a tendency to go astray. So the shepherd has two tools that he uses. It's called rod and staff. The staff is that long, crooked instrument that he uses to bring the wayward sheep in line. And when the sheep goes astray, he pulls them back in. He uses it a lot. But sometimes the sheep doesn't respond to the staff. So the shepherd warns, and here, now come on, stop going astray, stop going astray, stop going astray. I've got a rod here, I'll use it, don't make me use it, stop going astray. So I've got a rod here, so bam! She's going, oh, you know. Hey, better to have a broken leg than become leg of lamb, right? And sometimes God will allow something dramatic to get our attention, to bring us to where we need to be spiritually. The psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept your word. Could God even use the death of a child to bring a person to faith? According to one person who wrote me, the answer would have to be yes. She wrote, a person expects to lose a parent, maybe even a brother, sister, aunt or uncle, but never a child. My son would have been 16 years old today. It's been 15 years since his death. But he was the person that brought me to the Lord, she writes. Because of his death, I received my salvation. The comfort I found when I fell into God's hands. God knows my pain. He lost a son too. She concludes, I found salvation through God's son because of the loss of mine. What can you say? God brought good out of bad. That's what you can say. Number five, your suffering will not last forever. Whatever you're going through. It's not going to last forever. It seems like it at times. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, our present troubles are quite small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us an immeasurably great glory that will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we look forward to what we have not yet seen. For the troubles we see now will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. Number six and last point, suffering can be used to prepare us for a special task. Even when bad comes our way, God can bring good out of bad. We often isolate Romans 8:28 and don't think of the verse that follows it, verse 29. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for those that love God and are called according to his purpose, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed into the image of his own dear son. Listen now. God's end game, God's big plan for you is not to merely make you happy, it's to make you holy. God's desire is that you and I become like Jesus. So he causes all things to work together for good to those that love him, that we might be conformed into the image of his own dear son. Again, a quote from Randy Alcorn in his book, If God is Good, he says, everything that comes into your life, yes, even evil and suffering, is father filtered. I like that phrase, father filtered. Whether suffering brings us Christ-likeness depends to some degree upon our willingness to submit to God and trust him and draw our strength from him, end quote. See, the experiences of your life can be used to help others. And when you have suffered, you can offer a special measure of help to someone else who is suffering. Brian Birdwell was serving our country in the Pentagon, a lieutenant colonel, on 9/11 when that jet hit the Pentagon and killed a number of people there as well as the ones that hit the World Trade Center. Brian had 60% of his body blistered, his lungs were seared. He went through 92 days of grueling surgery. And to this day, quite frankly, he is somewhat disfigured from the burns. But you may recall some of you when he came and visited us and I interviewed him on this stage. And I was so impressed by him in every way and surprised by his wacky sense of humor. I don't know how else to describe it. He was one of the funniest guys I've ever met and joked about a lot of these things he's gone through. I would never joke about it, but he was so witty and just so fun to be with and just glorified God so powerfully through his testimony. And so after the third service that day, I said to Brian, hey, Brian, let's go out and get some lunch. He says, I'd love to, Greg, but I can't. I have an appointment. I said, oh, really, an appointment? Well, what's your appointment? He goes, well, I'm going to the local burn unit here in town. I said, really? Why are you doing that? And he said, well, wherever I go to burn units and visit people. Because, you see, when a guy like that walks in and you're a burn victim and you cannot imagine making it and you hear this guy tell you his story, it gives you hope. You can comfort with the comfort you've been comforted with. And Brian says that when he was in his hospital bed receiving one of his many treatments, his pastor said to him, don't waste your pain. So, look, I wish we could have pain-free lives. I really do. Oh, no pain. Listen, you can't control that. Sorry. But can you take it and use it for the glory of God and try to comfort others? Perhaps the hardships of today are preparing us for great opportunities tomorrow. You know, in the end, things turned up pretty well for old Job. Everything that he had was doubled. He had double the possessions, double the everything. But more children even, but you know, no children replaced this old one. So there was still pain there. But God worked and gave him a long life. And God will work through our pain as well. But here's the bottom line, is that we're not in control of our lives. God is. So we call out to him. And let me just say in closing, maybe some of you have had a wake-up call recently. Something has gotten your attention and has woken you up from your complacency. You know, a lot of times, frankly, people don't turn to God until they have to. It takes something big to get their attention. And maybe you recently had a close brush with death, or someone you know died, or you got bad news from a doctor, or something happened that just was one of those whoa kind of moments. And now you're saying, hello, God, are you out there? And it even brought you to church, or it's a reason you're listening to my message right now. Listen, what I would say to you is I'm just glad you're listening. And here's the thing. When you turn your life over to Jesus Christ, you have hope. I was just speaking a few moments ago with a 90-year-old man. And he said, I know that I'm going to heaven soon. He said, tell me what happens after we die. So I told him what the Bible said, that the moment you leave this life, you go immediately into the presence of God. Then he wanted to know what heaven was like, what we're going to be doing in heaven. Then he wanted to know other things. He had great questions. He's just a man who's being realistic about where he is in life, knows he isn't going to live forever, and wants to know what's happening later. He wants to know what's in his future. These are things we all ought to be dealing with right now. Not putting off. Oh, I'll ask you those questions when I'm 90. You'll probably be gone then, Greg, but you know, I'll ask someone else, I guess. Now, how do you know you're going to be 90? You don't have that guarantee. That's why you want to ask them now. And listen, if you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life to be your Savior and your Lord, and if you don't have the guaranteed hope that you'll go to heaven when you die, you need to get that now. And we're going to close in prayer. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask Christ to come into your life and forgive you of your sin. So if you've never done that yet, if you're not sure your life is right with him, get right with him now. And if you have strayed from him, come back to him. I pointed out Jesus Christ voluntarily went to the cross and died for your sin because there was no other way for God's righteous demands to be satisfied. So Christ died in your place and paid the price for the wrongs that you and I have done. And he rose again from the dead. And now he stands at the door of your life and he knocks. It says, if you'll hear his voice and open the door, he will come in. Listen, he's just a prayer away. And if you want him in your life now, he'll come in. I'll give you that opportunity as we close in prayer. Let's all bow our heads in prayer. And Father, I pray now for any person here who does not yet know you. Help them to see, Lord, the words we've shared today, they're true. As are your promises, as is this hope that we have in you. And I pray for any that do not know you yet, that they will come to you and believe in you and be forgiven of all of their sin. Help them to come to you now, we pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie, closing with an important word of prayer. And if your life is at a crossroads and you'd like to make a change in your relationship with the Lord today, Pastor Greg will come back in just a moment to help you do that, so please do stay tuned. Now, for a copy of today's message, or for both of the studies in this two-message set, get in touch with us at 1-800-821-3300. Today's study is titled, Why Does God Allow Suffering, Part 2? And again, the number, 1-800-821-3300. Well, Pastor Greg, it's a critical time for our season of proclamation.
Yes.
And that's what we've been calling our combined outreach through the Harvest Crusades, online webcasting, and our radio crusade that comes up in November here on A New Beginning.
Right.
But this is a critical time. We have a challenge to meet, don't we?
That's true, Dave. And, you know, this battle for souls, it's not for the faint of heart. Frankly, it's hard work. And it requires a well-trained, well-supplied army and, at times, sacrificial giving from the friends of Harvest who have a like passion for seeing souls saved. Listen, I don't know of a greater investment of your finances than in the proclamation of the gospel. And here's the cool thing. The Bible teaches that those who give share in the rewards because, as the Apostle Paul says, it will result in fruit to your account. But here's the bottom line. Our financial team has informed me that our support for this season of proclamation, as we call it, is running below the amount we need to meet the expenses of these outreach events. So I want you to know that we are doing everything that we can to make sure that every expense is absolutely necessary. But I want you to prayerfully consider helping us with a special gift today. A gift of much needed support that will put us back on track and fully funded for the rest of this crusade season. So our need today is about having the resources to finish what we have begun. And Dave's going to give you the address and phone number and our web address so you can know what to do. But let me just say in advance, thanks for considering this and praying about it. Dave?
Yeah, we do appreciate whatever help you can make available to us right now. It's a critical time with our Seattle Crusade approaching in early November. And before I give the contact information, if you can send a gift right now, we'll be glad to send you our brand new 2011 Names of God calendar. It'll help you draw closer to the Lord through learning more about God each month by way of the different names ascribed to Him in Scripture. We'll send it to you to thank you for your gift of any size. Our phone number again is 1-800-821-3300. Or write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. And you can take care of the details online at harvest.org. Well, Pastor Greg, as we close today's program, no doubt there are people listening who know that they do need to make their relationship right with God. They know they have sin in their life, and they know that they need the forgiveness that Jesus offers. How can they take advantage of this offer of forgiveness?
Well, you have just identified the first step. You need to know that you need this. You know, there's a lot of people that don't realize what they need. They're like a drowning person who would think that he could save himself. You need to call out to God for help. In fact, the Bible says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord, he will be saved. And I would like to give you an opportunity to call out to the Lord right now and find the salvation that he offers. It's as simple as prayer. I'm going to lead you in a prayer at this very moment. And if you would like to come to Christ, if you would like him to forgive you of your sin and fill the void in your life and give you the hope that when you die, you will go to heaven, pray this prayer with me right now. God, I admit to you today that I am a sinner and I am sorry for my sin and I turn from it now. I thank you for sending Jesus Christ, your Son, to die on the cross and to shed his blood for me. Now, Jesus, come into my heart and life. Be my Savior, my Lord, my God, and my friend. Fill me with your Spirit and help me to love your word and to do what you tell me to do. I want to be your disciple. Thank you for forgiving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And listen, if you have just prayed that prayer and you've meant it from your heart, God has forgiven you of your sin, and we want to welcome you into the family of God. And we have something we'd like to send to you that'll help you get started living as a Christian. We call it our New Believer's Growth Packet, and we'll be glad to send it your way free of any charge if you made a first-time commitment to the Lord today. Just ask for the New Believer's Growth Packet as you write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or you can phone us at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. And you'll find us online at harvest.org. There you can find out about Pastor Greg's podcast of A New Beginning, where he often is able to feature several more minutes of insight. Check out the podcast at harvest.org. Well, next time, we move into Pastor Greg's classic series, The Greatest Stories Ever Told. We'll focus in on the Shepherd King, who is called A Man After God's Own Heart. Be sure to join us next time.
It's a new beginning.